Welcome to the Wiley Manager Podcast, your place for just-in-time management advice on the web at wileymanager.com.
And we're back. It's your Wiley Manager Podcast. Today, Jed, we're talking about attribution theory.
Attribution theory, one of those topics that makes us sound smarter than we actually are, perhaps.
Yeah, which isn't all that hard to do when you think about it. But first, we're going to start with our viewer mail. Interestingly, we got some mail from a guy named Sage Smokes, which I'm guessing isn't his real name, from YouTube. And on our the one where we did situational leadership, the page on our YouTube site where we did, and it says, situational leadership was developed by Dr. Paul Hersey. Ken Blanchard developed situational leadership too. They're different. Get it right.
Oh, so we're not, this is one of those situations where we're not that smart.
Well, actually, if he listened to the podcast, we did actually talk about that very thing. So I'm thinking that he maybe quickly briefly looked through the slides and then just got angry. Seems like an angry person, but I would probably be angry too if my name were actually Sage Smokes.
Well, we've just alienated one listener who will never come back again.
Right on. And moving on, why don't we talk about what's on the program today?
All right, we're going to talk about attribution theory. So firstly, we'll have to explain what attribution theory is to folks, because not a commonly used management technique, I should expect. Suspect.
Oh, I have all their albums.
We'll talk about why you might care, how you might use attribution theory as a leader, as a manager, before we wrap it up with three things.
Okay. Well, tell us what it is without delay.
All right. Well, basically what attribution theory attempts to do is explain how people tend to explain things.
How's
that sound?
That's pretty circular, but carry on. You got my attention. Carry on.
So consider something happens to you, either a good result or a poor result. Attribution theory tries to explain how you'd explain that, such as, so if something good happens to me or bad happens to me, I can either say that was because of internal attribution, would say it's because something I did. I did something that ended up in this result. An external attribution would say, well, there's something outside of my control, whether it be the weather or whatever. Something outside of my control is actually responsible for that result. So that's the difference between the internal and external attributions.
Right on. So it's rationalization.
Well, it is rationalization, but think about how this plays itself out a little bit. So if something happens to me, either a good thing or a bad thing, if it's good, I tend to attribute that to my own actions, right? This good thing happened because I'm a smart guy, I work hard, and I did these things, and this great thing happened. If something bad happens to me, my natural tendency is to explain that or attribute that to external things, right? Somebody else or something else, or there was some sort of force outside of my control that's produced this particular result when it's a bad result.
Okay. So as a manager, how do I actually use this wisdom?
Well, you'll find that people who tend to have more internal attributions are going to learn more quickly and their performance will improve more quickly.
Right.
So consider this. So the world asks me why. Why did something happen? I provide an attribution, either an internal or an external attribution.
Right.
My future behavior then could depend on the type of attribution I apply. So if I apply an external attribution, for example, the weather or some other external force, my behavior in the future might not change that whole much because it's just bad luck that got me here. So I'm not going to do anything differently as a result because it's not my fault.
Right.
Whereas if I attribute something internally, I worked hard, I'm a smart guy, I put these project plans, did a lot of work on the detailed project plan or whatever it might be, that's going to influence my behavior. Again, if it works out well for me, I'm lucky to repeat those kinds of behaviors, right?
So the key here is to beat all your employees into thinking that everything is their fault.
Well, we didn't really touch on it yet, but that's the other interesting part about attribution theory. So we talked about me. When something happens to me and it's good, I apply internal attributions. When it's bad, I tend to apply external attributions. When I see something happen to somebody else, I do exactly the opposite. Something good happens to somebody else, my first tendency is, oh, wow, aren't they lucky?
Right.
Right? And if something bad happens to somebody else, we tend to apply, oh, well, that person's just not smart. What a dummy to let that happen to them. So it's an interesting flip how that sort of goes back and forth.
So as a manager, what I'm trying to do is, again, get people to take more accountability and to try to internally use the internal attribution.
Yeah, right.
So that's what I'm trying to encourage as a leader.
Exactly. So there's there's some research that athletes who make more internal attributions are better able to improve their performance because they're fixing stuff about themselves. They're not blaming stuff that's out of their control. So again, like you just said, your job as a leader is to try and help employees make more internal attributions about their performance, thereby improving their motivation and their ability to improve performance.
So I wasn't that far off when I said I got to try to encourage everybody to think that everything is their fault.
Well, yeah, it's not that far off at all, because if you're making those internal attributions, you're also going to try and figure out, well, what do I need to do differently in the future in order to get a different result? Or what do I need to continue to do in order to achieve the same good, positive result?
Okay. Well, narrow it down for me a little bit more. So I'm a manager and I'm dealing with people around, you know, let's say that we've just got a new customer.
Right.
Okay. So what am I trying to reinforce with my people around this good event or good outcome?
So what you're trying to enforce is internal attributions as to that good outcome. So you want to try and get them thinking about what kinds of things that they do well that helped land this important customer.
Right. So that their actions are responsible for the fact that we landed this new customer, as opposed to, geez, we just got lucky and the customer, you know, delivered him or herself to our door.
Yeah. Our competitors dropped the ball, or, you know, whatever, some external product decisions that we had no control over helped us land that customer. Because if you're making those kinds of external attributions, then you just got lucky. Right. And you're not going to try and – you might not know what to try and repeat, what to try and improve. So external attributions just can tend to give you that idea that you just got lucky all the time, and thereby you're not going to do anything about your own performance.
Okay. So now let's flip it on the other side. So we just lost a customer.
Yeah.
So as a manager, so I've got a team of people working for me. What techniques can I use here that are going to help me with the fact that we just – something bad happened? So what attributes am I trying to encourage there?
Again, you want to try and encourage internal attributions. Now, you need to be a bit careful. You don't want to go beat your folks up about this, but you need to take a good hard look and figure out what did we do that led to this particular outcome, and then translate that into what could we do differently to have a different outcome later, both internal, right? What's we're trying to figure out what we're going to do that's within our control. What did we do that led to a poor outcome? What could we do differently that would lead to a better outcome later? Both internal types of attributions, rather than blaming it on something that you have no control over.
Right. Our competitors undercut us, or, you know, somebody else dropped the ball over there somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay. So I should be looking then to, you know, arrange things so that I'm making sure that people rationalize, because we all rationalize every day, right? There's an old adage that rationalization is better than sex, because you can go a whole day without sex, right? So... whereas rationalization, I mean, but again, what we're doing is it's sort of like a guided rationalization.
Yes. Yeah. So, okay. You know, so you want to try and when you can, as a leader, trying to arrange tasks in order of increasing, you know, difficulty. So try and give them a sense of, hey, I'm doing well. I'm able to sort of figure this stuff out. And because of my actions, good things are happening. You can, you know, tend to build on those sorts of things. So try to arrange tasks so people perceive themselves and the result of their work, their hard work, is having good results.
Right. So it's self-reinforcing, right? So if you assign these tasks in such a way where people build momentum and they carry on, then they're much more likely to work harder and feel good about that work.
Yeah. So arrange tasks in that way. The other thing you do is just in terms of how you communicate using this, you know, positive internal attribution. So if you're trying to get somebody else to internally attribute stuff. So there's a story I was reading while I was doing a bit of research on this, where they did a test with students, little kids in school. They gave them all a bunch of candies that had little wrappers, right? They went in after these kids had these candies, and they counted how many wrappers ended up on the floor versus how many ended up in the litter basket, right?
Right.
Then they, over the course of the next couple of weeks, the teacher would just say things to the effect of, you students work so hard at keeping this classroom so neat, and I really appreciate that. The custodian would write on the board, this is the neatest classroom in the entire school. You students must really care about how neat this classroom is.
Right.
So they're trying to apply and influence people to have these internal attributions about the things that I do and how that controls what happens, the result, right? So they go back later, do the same test, give the kids all the candy, and count again how many end up in the litter basket versus the floor. They do nothing else other than trying to apply, you know, positive internal attributions about their behaviors and how they are, and the result. And they got an entirely different result. Obviously, more wrappers in the waste paper basket than left on the floor this time around.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting to, you know, repeat that experiment where you just nag the kids to death. Right. And well, not and honestly, right? Because as parents and as managers, that's often the first tool out of our box. Right?
Sure.
We beat people until, and I'm using, you know, overstating it by using the word beat, but nevertheless, we nag and coerce and, you know, challenge people and beat them into doing what we want them to do. Or what you're saying is, well, if we can internally attribute the positive outcome, then you're much more likely to get the outcomes that you want.
Sure.
Okay. Gee, this is, we do sound smart.
Unbelievable. Another thing you can do is assign or use attribution assigning types of questions. So when you're coaching, as a leader, you're often coaching and providing feedback.
Yeah.
You want to try and use attribution assigning questions. By that, I mean, so we got this result, Bob, right? And we're talking about this. Tell me what you did that got us to this great result. And you tell me a story about all the great and wonderful things you did that got us to this result. Great. You're likely to repeat those kinds of behaviors. Flip side, something bad happens. You know, we want to try and attribute in our coaching questions that would say, okay, Bob, what could we do differently next time that would hopefully get us a different result?
Cool.
Right? So try and listen for those types of, especially when somebody's trying to apply external attributions. Hey, we just got lucky, or the competitor did this, or the weather did that. When you hear about those kind of things, try and pull them back and start to assign those attribution questions that says, okay, that's all fine, Danny. Yes, the weather might have been bad, but what could we have done differently that would have been more likely to produce the result we were looking for?
Right. Okay. Lay it on us. Give us three things that we should take away from this.
One, two, three. One, two, three.
All right. So the first thing is that attribution theory is not the only tool. It's just another tool. Here at Wiley Manager, we chuck lots of tools out at you. Hopefully, you know, a few of them stick for you and you find some value. And this is just another tool to add to your toolkit as a leader.
One of the many services we offer here at Wiley Manager.
There you go.
Right on. Number two.
Remember, in general, it's best for employees to believe that their own behavior rather than external circumstances leads to success or failure.
Right.
So we didn't talk about this much during the podcast. So occasionally, it is okay for people to attribute externally.
Yep.
Let me explain that a little bit. So if you are working hard and you're smart and you have a failure, you don't want folks to try and to be beaten down by those. An occasional failure and an occasional external attribution is fine. It's those, you know, constantly attributing it to something external is not where you want them to be. Every once in a while can help you out and actually help you with motivation as well, because then they can say, well, I'm going to keep trying because that was just, you know, bad luck. I'm going to keep moving forward and keep trying and not give up.
Right.
And number three, take advantage of those coaching opportunities. So listen to your people making untrue or external attributions and coach appropriately using those kinds of coaching questions, bringing it back to an internal attribution every chance you get.
Excellent. Thank you for those. I'll remind everybody that back at www.wileymanager.com, we've done some similar work. We've done podcasts on Aubrey Daniels' work, the ABCs, Managing Consequences. We've done some stuff on organizational change resistant. We did a podcast on capturing discretionary effort, which is very similar to what you're talking about here. And we've also talked about giving quality feedback, Jed. So those are all things that are, if this podcast did something for you, then you might want to check out those other ones too.
Indeed. And up next, I think we got scatter diagrams in an upcoming podcast, effective meetings. What else is coming up, Bob?
We've got coming soon to a Wiley Manager Theater near you. We've got, scatter diagrams, the triangle of satisfaction, which I'm still not quite sure what means, but it'll be fun, and effective meetings.
Cool. And always back at the Wiley Manager website, you can pick up our free management cheat sheet collection for a limited time. So
easy for you to say.
Some of our most popular cheat sheets. Every podcast we do has its own little cheat sheet, so we've bundled a bunch of those together, and they're available back at the website.
Yes, and our marketing people tell us that we're not going to do that for very much longer, so if that's something you want, you should go grab it quick.
We have a marketing team?
Yeah, we do.
Excellent.
Yeah, not bad, eh? I'll have to introduce you one day. All right, Jed, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bob.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Wiley Manager podcast. If you have some comments or questions about today's show, please let us know at facebook.com/WileyManager.